हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम यश्चंदसाम ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छंदोभ्यो ध्यमृता संभावधीतमस्तु मा विद्वेषावहै ओम शांति 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 ही लिविंग अ लाइफ ऑफ कर्म योगा इज फॉर अंतःकरण शुद्धि ही और चित्त शुद्धि ही चित्त शोधकम ही सेड इज फॉर मेंटल प्यूरिटी which is a qualification required on the part of the one who wants to know the truth and thereby one who wants to ascertain that truth is knowledge of truth and one has to have antakarna shuddhi for which karma yogaha ishara arpitam chitta shodhakam he said that first that's the only way There is no other way, no. Anya panta na vidyate ayanaya. There is no other way. There is no other shortcut method for for having mental purity without which the self knowledge, the atma jnanam is not without which atma jnanam is not possible. And. But even though karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga will take care of antahkarna shuddhi, but for antahkarna naischalyam, for mental steadiness, this indisciplined, restless mind to become quiet and disciplined, it's the shastram prescribes certain exercises. There was we saw, and there we saw this upasanam. He prescribed upasanam. Upasanam is actually meditation, but here he said, even the upasanam, which involves kayikam and vachikam and karma, they're also as good as meditation because there the attention is focused only on Bhagavan in pujas. Therefore, he said, how the performing a puja, wherein one plays a role of just the devotee. As a karma yogi, is a nitya bhaktaha, is ever a devotee. But when he performs the puja, he only plays the role of a devotee. He is not playing other roles. In playing such a role as a devotee, wherein he just worships Bhagavan, which involves kayikam, vachikam, karmas, and manasam karma also, and the mental activities, physical, oral, mental activities, that upasanam is as good as meditation. It helps one to have antahkarana naischalyam. So first thing, isn't it? How puja, the role of performing any puja, even though it's an expression of one's gratefulness to Bhagavan, it is a karma which will result in prosperity, etc. Even then, the performance of puja, etc., prayer, etc., helps one to have antahkarana naischalyam. That is, that's why we say upasanam, he said. And there, in that context, when he talked about the vachikam karma, he praised, doing stavaha and japaha. Stavaha, I told you, wherein many names of the Lord are chanted, recited. Stavaha, and stavaha is very good as an oral activity. One can recite many names of the Lord. And there, what is better than stavaha is japaha. And japaha is repeating the one name of the Lord is what? Japaha. So repetition of one name or one mantra of the Lord is japaha. Repeating many names of the Lord is what? Stavaha. Always japaha is better than stavaha, he said. And there again he said, even the japaha, If you say it loudly, that is also good. But what is better than that saying it aloud is saying softly is saying a japa, doing one's japa softly is better than doing one's japa loudly. Then he said, and after much better than the nichehi kriyamanaha japaha, what is better than even softly saying japa is in fact doing on the japa mentally is much better than doing one's japa even softly. So manasa japaha serves as pre-preparation for meditation. In fact, manasa japaha itself sometimes becomes meditation, he said. And thereafter, he said, even better than manasa japaha is what? Actually, the meditation. But meditation is not possible if one is not adequately steady-minded. One has to be adequately steady, mentally steady, in order to be meditative. Therefore, this manasa japaha really helps one to prepare one for this dhyanam, meditation. And even before manasa japaha also, kayikam, vachikam, karmas. Kayikam karma, vachikam karma. And also, these karmas also done as even though it involves physical body, a physical body and my speech, still they serve as pre-preparation for meditation. Therefore, in meditation, what he says again, when you say in meditation, because in manasam japaha, when you chant a mantra or when you chant a nama, there every time the name ends and again you begin the new name, the same name, you again begin. The name comes to an end, you begin again. Name comes to an end, you begin again. And when your attention is focused on the nama or mantra, given mantra, then every time the mantra ends and before the beginning, after the ending, in between, there is a very, very short fraction of second and wherein you are just, there's no object of thought there, therein just silence. That is how this manasa japaha serves as meditation. But even then, this manasa japaha, because every time the nama ends, and again the nama has to be begun, started, therefore, this is sort of interrupted flow of thoughts. In manasa japaha, the flow of thoughts is interrupted. Because what is better than that manasa japaha is dhyana meditation, wherein the flow of thoughts will be uninterrupted. So uninterrupted flow of thoughts now is there in meditation. For that meditation is better than manasam japaha. And what is meditation? We saw already saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. Okay, it's a mental activity for which the object of meditation is Bhagavan Ishwaraha. Sagunam Brahma means Ishwaraha, the Lord, the whole. There, anything which stands for the Lord will be, represents the Lord will be the object of meditation. So focusing the attention of the mind for a length of time on a given object which stands for Ishwara, Bhagavan, is meditation. And this meditation practiced for a length of time with Shraddha will definitely help one to have what? Antakarana Naischalyam. What is it which I really accomplish by being meditative, by practicing meditation? One cannot get anything overnight. Okay? Meditation also has to be practiced for a length of time. Isn't it? For length of time, you have to practice. Then it will result in what? Antakarana Naischalyam, mental steadiness. That is the ultimate phalam one can gain as a result of meditation. And here, but in this Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha, there is difference. Meditator, object of meditation is different from the one who is meditating, the meditator, isn't it? Therefore, the difference is there. Therefore, the ultimate gain is what? What can we ultimately gain is nothing but, nothing more than mental steadiness. How much ever one practices meditation, whatever is the object he is meditating on, it cannot help one, resolve his problem of smallness centered on I. One can be mentally steady person, still he will be a bound person, he will not be a free person. This is where we have to understand the advantage or the usefulness of practicing meditation, at the same time limitation of meditation also. And meditation is only preparatory means. That is why this meditation or any upasanam, this dhyanam, which is actual dhyanam, which is upasanam, and also other upasanam I told you about, kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma, we said manasam, japaha, other puja, performance of puja, physical, which involves physical activity, or chanting of mantra, which involves oral activity, they all become yogaha only if a person has purushartha nischayaha. Only if a person is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Only if he is a mumukshuhu, only if he is a jignyasuhu, all these things have some meaning, only then they become what? Yoga. Otherwise, the kayikam karma puja, vachikam karma japaha, oral japaha, manasam karma the manasam japaha, all these become what? Punya karma. Otherwise, it does not become yoga. So also even dhyanam, even the uninterrupted meditation also becomes what? Just the an exercise, mental exercise, technique which you practice, it will not be yoga. Okay, or you may have mental steadiness, but it will not be yoga if purush, the purpose of practicing meditation is not very clear. You should know I am practicing meditation, and what I can gain? I can gain mental steadiness. Manam manadu orunilai padum. That's all. Okay, and that mana orunilai padu and mental steadiness is very much required for later on contemplation. That is why I am practicing. You should know the purpose of meditation, what it can do, what it cannot do. Then it becomes what? Yoga. Otherwise, meditation also becomes just a mental exercise. Then we saw what is better than this meditation. Look at this. One is better than the other, isn't it? What is better than manasam japaha? Meditation. Why? Manasam japaha is interrupted meditation. And interrupted, the flow of thoughts is interrupted. Whereas here in dhyanam, the flow of thoughts is not interrupted, not obstructed. Therefore, it is uninterrupted flow of these thoughts. It involves meditation, is involved in meditation. Meditation is better than manasam japaha. And even what is actually better than meditation is what is required for our part is, as a mukshu, contemplation, isn't it? Contemplation, which is what? What is contemplation actually? Enquiry into, so it is nirguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha, which means mental activity wherein the object of meditation is the very nature of reality. When I say object of meditation is the very nature of reality, that object of meditation is none other than the self. Nature of the reality is nature of the self. Nature of the self is nature of what? Meaning of the word I. Therefore, the meditator swaswarupa anusandhanam. I want to understand this word. Swaswarupa anusandhanam. See, dhanam means placing, dhanam. Not dhanam. Dhanam means placing. Sandhanam means placing well. Anusandhanam means continuously focusing one's attention. On what? Swaswarupam, not anywhere else. Focusing one's attention continuously, constantly, consistently, for a length of time, on one's own swarupam. Is what? Swaswarupa anusandhanam, which implies enquiry into the nature of one's own self as unfolded, as revealed in the Shastram, unfolded by the teacher. Understand now? As revealed, unfolded in the Shastram. Is what? Swaswarupa anusandhanam. Why? Because when I say swarupa anusandhanam means what? No, meditating upon swarupam. Of whom? Swa, one's own swarupam. Meditating upon one's own swarupam means what? Seeing, focusing attention on the nature of reality as unfolded in the Shastram. This is Nirgunam Brahma, isn't it? So swarupam is the swarupam of Brahman, which is Nirgunam Brahma. What gunas are there for consciousness? Consciousness does not have any gunaha, any quality, any attribute. In fact, attributelessness is the nature of reality. It doesn't have any attribute, isn't it? What attributes does consciousness have? No attribute it has. Therefore, that's why Nirgunam Brahma. And what is Nirgunam Brahma? Nirgunam Brahma is the reality. And can you meditate upon the reality, Nirgunam Brahma? Meditating upon Nirgunam Brahma means meditating upon the swarupam of the reality. What is swarupam of the reality? Swarupam of one's own self. Swaswarupam. Swaswarupam and swarupam of Brahman, the truth of everything, is one and the same. And focusing one's attention, how the inquiry into the nature of reality. How do you know the nature of reality? As unfolded in the Shastram. As what? How outward Atma is. No? Consciousness is beginningless. How consciousness is endless. How consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. How consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness. How it is Nityaha. How it is Sarvagataha. How it is. It's what is? Enquiring into the meaning of these words. Enquiring into the meaning of these words, Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Sthanahu, Achalaha, Sanatana, Visayan, Bhagavad Gita class, is what? As unfolded in the Shastram, is in fact enquiring into the nature of the reality, which is dwelling upon one's own swarupam. And dwelling upon, so meaning of these words implies dwelling upon one's own swarupam, which is the swarupam of the substance of the substantive I, the awareness. And there, the meditator is meditating upon his own swarupam, isn't it? There's no distance here. Therefore, meditator, the object of meditation, being the very subject, here our subject, object difference is not there. Meditator, meditated difference is not there in contemplation, which is called nididhyasanam. And in this nididhyasanam, as a result of nididhyasanam, I told you last class also, what happens if one is given to this nididhyasanam? One regularly practices nididhyasanam. Here, in fact, nididhyasanam is not even an action, I told you. It's just being with oneself. One has to learn to be with oneself. One has to learn to be by oneself. That is possible. Learning to be with oneself, learning to be by oneself implies mind, attention of the mind, being focused on the nature of one's own self. The class itself become contemplation after some time, I told you. Just yet now, I want to understand all the technical terms, that's all. And this nididhyasanam, done for some time, will help one to have the ascertained vision of the reality, and wherein one understand reality, how the Atmaswarup alone is Satyam. Everything other than the Atma is Mithya will be very clear. And there we will say, Satyam and Mithya, we talk about two things, but still they are not two different things. They are two orders of the same reality. Therefore, we resolve Mithya in Satyam. You say, all that is there is only Ishwaraha, only Brahman. There is no second thing other than Brahman. Having this vision that all that is there is Brahman, is Ishwara, is what? In fact, Uttama Bhaktihi. Remember that Ramana saying, what is Uttama Bhaktihi? See the Jnana Bhaktihi. Jnanam is the best of devotion. The most exalted form of bhakti is what? Saying knowledge. There's no greater devotion than saying everything is Ishwara. All that is there is only Brahman. Anittam Parambarule. Now this is not simply saying, having this vision is what? Is the highest devotion. There is no, it's called Paramabhaktihi. Isn't Paramabhaktihi? Uchagramana says Uttama Bhaktihi. And in this vision, one becomes free. One is free from all limitations. And thereafter, he wants to say, therefore, karma, performance of actions. What actions? Any action. Religious activity prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, otherwise called what? Sacred karma. Okay, performance of pujas, etc. Or even these secular activities or mundane activities, any performance of any karma performed with the proper attitude as yoga. So karma, and also what? Bhaktihi, devotion to the Lord, devotion, whatever you call it, karma, bhakti, and then he said yogaha. What is yogaha? Any discipline practiced which prepares the mind, disciplines the mind for knowledge, which prepares the mind for knowledge by disciplining the mind is called yogaha. Anything practiced, done, which contributes for the preparation of the mind for knowledge is yoga. Therefore, performance of actions, karma, devotion, bhakti. Then yoga, all these things are ultimately for jnanam. What jnanam? Uttama bhakti. The jnanam which is the uttama bhakti. What is the jnanam? All that is here is mithya jagat is satyam brahma. All that is here is only Ishwara. There is no second thing other than Ishwara. There is no second reality other than Brahman. Understand? Therefore, wherein one does not see a second thing other than Ishwara, this is called Advaita Drishtihi, isn't it? The vision of the non-duality of the reality, or the vision of non-duality, Advaita Drishtihi, is the Uttama Bhaktihi, and that is the, now we saw that, and that is the Jnanam. So karma, bhaktihi, yogaha, all these things should culminate in, they are supposed to culminate in, meant for culminating in Jnanam, which is wherein one has the vision of non-duality. Isn't it? And in that context, and we wanted to, I was saying something about the word yoga came, isn't it? Karma performed as karma yoga, because definitely karma produces phalam, punyam, in keeping with your attitude, in keeping with your conformity of the dharma. Karma produces phalam, punyam or papam, and you have to exhaust this. The karma, just karma produces phalam, and one has to definitely exhaust the phalam. It is no way of karma, no, becoming free just by doing karma, one cannot become free from bondage. And second thing, karma performed with the proper attitude serves as a indirect means for moksha, because it contributes for preparing the mind for jnanam. Then we saw what is this bhakti also, we saw what is, no, bhakti also we saw, artha bhaktihi, arthi bhaktihi, jigyasa bhaktihi, and no, jnani bhaktihi, no, jnani bhaktihi also, jnana bhaktihi. So, here artha bhaktihi means what? Artha bhaktihi means devotion of the one who is distressed. One who worships Bhagavan when he is in trouble, when he is disturbed, when he suffers, whenever he has a lot of sufferings and he thinks of Bhagavan. He is artha bhaktaha, isn't it? Artha bhaktaha. See, for him, there is no purushartha nischayaha. There is no commitment, there is no need for it. He is not committed to the pursuit of knowledge. For him, artha kamas are the ultimate ends. Therefore, only when he is in trouble, he worships Bhagavan, he is artha bhaktaha. And arthi bhaktaha is the one now who seeks Bhagavan's support and help and grace for being prosperous always, not to lose what he has and to acquire what he wants. He is what? Arthi bhaktaha. The second type of devotee, arthi bhaktaha. Artha bhaktaha, tunburhira bhaktan. Arthi bhaktaha, one who is desirous of prosperity. One who seeks Bhagavan's grace and support and help just for preserving his prosper, no, whatever wealth, riches he has, and to acquire what he wants. And he, this artha bhaktaha and arthi bhaktaha, these two devotees definitely do not have purushartha nischayaha. It's not there for them. Therefore, they do not know the value, or they do not know the purpose, ultimate purpose of life. They do not have any, they do not know the value of knowledge. Therefore, they cannot be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Because the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not there, they do not know even the value of dharma. Therefore, they may be ethical or they may not be ethical. They are mere religious people. They are merely religious people who artha bhaktaha and arthi bhaktaha. And what about jigyasu bhaktaha? Jigyasu bhaktaha is the thinker, one who wants to know, apart from praying to Bhagavan, worshipping Bhagavan, one who wants to know who Bhagavan is. What is the truth of the universe? What is the truth? Who is the Lord? Who I am? Okay, one who wants to know. And the jigyasu bhaktaha definitely is the one who has purushartha nischayaha and who knows the value of knowledge, thereby who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. The one who knows the value of dharma, thereby is a spiritual person. Jigyasa bhaktaha is the spiritual person. Only where there is thirst for knowledge of the truth, there is spirituality. There is no way of being spiritual without having any thirst for knowledge of the truth. Otherwise, there's devotion is what? Very emotional. Okay, they are religious, but they're not spiritual. Only if a person has the love for knowledge of the truth, and we can say that person is spiritual person, because he knows the value of knowledge, and because he also knows the value of values, and he is ethical, and he seeks Bhagavan's grace, therefore he is worshipful, and he is prayerful, he is religious, and he is ethical. He is the real devotee, and we saw, but who is the best of the devotees? Who is the best, most exalted of all the devotees? Artha bhaktaha, arthi bhaktaha, jigyasa bhaktaha, and jnani bhaktaha is the best of the devotees, most exalted of the devotees. Why? Because Ramana said later on last class, uttama bhakti, his bhakti is the uttama bhakti. Jnani bhaktasya bhaktireva uttama. Understand now? His bhakti is uttama bhakti. Why? Because the jnani is the one who does not say, I know the Lord, who says, I am the Lord. Okay, in whose vision all that is there is the only indivisible, partless whole, the reality, the awareness, Brahman, and that Brahman for him is none other than the self. Isn't it? Therefore, one has this ascertained vision of the non-duality is what? Jnani Bhaktaha, and he is the person of accomplishment, person of real fulfillment. Therefore, we have to understand, Karma Yoga also prepares the mind, nothing more than that. Bhakti also, this is how we have understood Bhakti. And there is no other Bhakti. And here, whatever you say, even Upasanam also comes what? That is why we have to understand Upasanam. If it's a Kayakam Karma, or Vachikam Karma, or Manasam Karma, even the practice of meditation, or Manasa Japaha, or Vachikam Japaha, anything is a Karma. Bhakti and karma are not two different paths. We have to understand. People say karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, raja yoga, four paths leading to. That is why I want to make it very clear today. You have to be very, very clear. Many people say this. There are four paths. What are the four paths? Jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga. But please understand, we do not say there are four paths. Raja Yoga means life of, path of meditation. Karma Yoga means path of karma. Bhakti Yoga means path of devotion. Understand, Jnana Yoga means what? Path of knowledge. So they have four paths. And we say a bhakti, because Ramana is so clear. Understand now? Bhakti, karma, bhakti, yoga, all the three should be reduced to one thing as karma. Understand now? Bhakti and karma, we have to be very clear now. What is bhakti? Okay, we do vaikam karma, but expression of your devotion, isn't it? What is that? Karma. If you sing bhajans, karma. If you chant a mantra orally, karma. If you chant stava, do stavaha, karma. Japaha, karma. Okay, mental manasam japaha. Still is a mental activity. Kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. Isn't it? Through which you express your devotion. And again, we know, the person is a purusharthanischaya, only any karma becomes yoga. The worship also becomes yoga only if you have purusharthanischaya. Otherwise, there is no yoga. Therefore, now you know, here karma, bhakti, understand now? Then we say yoga. Yoga says what? Yoga, people generally say, anything which prepares the mind is yoga. But here we have to understand, even the meditation, any technique practiced to discipline the mind. Any technique practiced to discipline the mind is also what? Just an exercise, there is no purusharthan nischaya. There is also what now? Anything practiced is action, isn't it? For karma. We say there are not four paths. There are only two lifestyles. Life of karma yoga and life of sannyasaha. Or jnana yoga and karma yoga. Karma yoga, life of karma yoga prepares one for jnana yoga. Jnana yoga will result in jnanam, which is moksha. One is preceding, one is following. That's all. You can't say which is important, which is not important. Without living a life of karma yoga, no jnana yoga is possible. Understand now? And without jnana yoga, but karma yoga itself is not enough for jnanam. Which is important here? One is preparatory, one is for the prepared. Understand? And which will result in jnana, which is moksha. Therefore, Ramana makes it very clear in the previous mantra, karma, bhaktihi, karma, bhaktihi, yogaha, all these are meant for culminating in jnanam, which is mokshaha. Isn't it? We saw that. And there, in that context, we were talking about ashtanga yogaha. Why? Because it's quite famous. I didn't really do in detail, because we will be seeing it separately again later on. But in this context, I don't need to talk much about Ashtanga Yoga, but still I want to touch about it. And Ashtanga Yoga, actually the people who practice just the yoga, they call themselves yogis. and they differ from Vedantinaha, Vedantis. And they say that they mistake the practicing these eightfold limbs of yoga itself is enough for enlightenment, they think. But here, Vedantins say, without to know the swarupam of the Atma is very, very important. Because all our fundamental problem is the problem of smallness centered on I. Therefore, that problem of smallness being centered on I has to be resolved, and for which the cause is ignorance of the self. Therefore, it is very important to know the self. The knowledge is the only solution. Jnanadi eva kaivalyam. Jnanathaladhan oneness. Understand now? Knowledge is the only means for moksha. But whatever any amount of techniques you practice to discipline the mind, that will not remove the ignorance. Any amount of techniques you practice can help you prepare the mind for knowledge, but that will not bless you with knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, knowledge alone will free you, and for knowledge, ignorance has to be removed, isn't it? You are not creating the knowledge, you only remove the, uncover the ignorance for which you need to study Veda Anta Shastram. Is it clear now? Let's make it very, very clear. And here we say these eightfold limbs, Ashta Anga Yoga. When you say there must be one thing must be Angi, other things must be Angas. Angi is the main, and Angas are what? Actually, which really subserve, which are supportive for the Angi. What is the main thing to be accomplished? He said, for them, actually, Nirvikalpa Samadhi. For them, okay? Nirvikalpa Samadhi is the Angi, and all other things become what now? In fact, Angani. They become limbs. This become the trunk, actually, main thing, isn't it? So first we saw Yamaha, Niyamaha, Asanam, Pranayamaha, Pratyaharaha, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Samadhihi. Isn't it? Eightfold Angas, we saw that. All these things serve as what? Angas for this Angi, which is Nirvikalpa Samadhihi. Last we saw how Yamaha and Niyamaha actually go with one's ethical life. Following Yamaha and Niyamaha imply somebody living a life of values and disciplined life. And we saw other things actually, Yamaha, Niyamaha, then Asanam also, I told you how the limitations of asanas. All the asanas are not for everybody, and one has to learn the different practice, learn to practice the postures, and which really help one to have, and then healthy body. It also helps one to have good mind. A good mind means some sort of mind, disciplined mind. Practicing this yoga asanas also contributes for some sort of, serves as a mental discipline also. And we say your asanam in pranayamaha, the breathing exercise. In today's class actually we are going to see Ramana talks exclusively about pranayamaha. And pranayamaha is a breathing exercise. And we saw pratyaharaha is certain being, being moderate in all our enjoyment of sense pleasures, etc. So having proper mastery over senses and sense powers and all senses, and also our other physical limbs, we say shamaha and damaha, is what actually pratyaharaha. Pratyaharaha, then we say pratyaharaha, then we say dharanam. Dharanam is sort of pre-preparation for meditation. Actually, we already studied separately everything. In Vedanta also we teach. We don't go by this order, that's all. But still we are teaching what it is here. And dharana means, initially when you are not able to sit at all, then you try to practice to place attention of the mind on a given object for length. No? First you try to place, try to focus, learn to focus. You sit, mind goes somewhere. You learn to focus. Learn to focus, learn to take the mind away from other things, learn to focus on given thing, is what? Actually, dharanam, holding the attention of the mind. Dharanam means holding on a given object for a length of time. Just trying to practice is what? Actually, dharanam. It's a very, very slight difference between dharanam and dhyanam. And it's all, definitely one does not need to practice all the eightfold limbs, really speaking. We can just live a life as it is already taught in the Vedanta. We have to talk about it because everybody is interested in this eightfold Ashtanga Yoga, that's why. And next thing is, Dhyanam, as I told you already, is only Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Isn't it that Dhyanam, what we have already seen here. And this dhyanam will result in what? You have to see this. Dhyanam will help you when you focus your attention on a given object which stands for Ishvara, it is dhyanam. If it is simply an object every day, in fact to practice practice concentration, you don't need to involve Ishvara, you don't need to make it yoga. You can have excellent... So here, in fact, when you practice just the concentration, just to develop your concentration, you need not have only Bhagavan, you need not have anything which stands for Ishvara. Every day, get up in the morning, light the candle or something, just try to practice, focus attention on this light. There's no Ishvara, nothing. And take attention from everything else, everywhere, no thought, no thing of anything else. I just try to focus my attention on this light. And slowly I also keep my eyes closed. I see only this light. If I practice, people call this also as meditation. Why? Attention of the mind is focused on a given object. Only one object. Attention is not scattered, focused. Object of meditation is one. For length of time, every day I practice, even then mind might become still. Because of practice, isn't it? Because you will be disciplined mind. This is only you will develop concentration. Shastram does not recommend, accept it as meditation, dhyanam. If the object of your meditation, only if you are understanding, if you think it stands for Bhagavan, everything is Ishvara, isn't it? With this understanding, if it's something, a symbol which stands for Ishvara, then it is meditation. And that meditation, when you are practicing, focusing your attention on a given object which stands for Ishvara for a length of time, regularly you are practicing, initially attention will be going here and there, and slowly, whenever attention goes, we'll see in second sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita later on, you got to bring the mind yada yada nischarate. Okay, whenever my attention goes, you try to bring attention back to the object and you practice it regularly. No? Abhyasena tu kaunteya. By constant practice, you will be able to focus. Then, after some time, when you sit in meditation on a given object, immediately you can just be with the object. You won't be distracted. You're very focused. Only that object is there. You are there. Nothing else is there for you. And that is what? That there, even subject-object difference is there. Meditator-meditated difference is very much there. Isn't it? But in due course of time, when you practice this, first you learn to practice meditation. Having practiced meditation, you are meditative. Isn't it? When you are meditative, and then when you continue practicing this meditation, after some time, you may have an experience. What is that experience? For a length of time, you will remain still. It's called Savikalpa Samadhihi. What is Savikalpa Samadhihi? You are there, the object of meditation alone is there. Other than the object of meditation, nothing else is there. All other thoughts remain resolved except the object of meditation. And you, the meditator, remain absorbed in the object of meditation. The meditator remains absorbed in the object of meditation. All other thoughts remain resolved. Therefore, what we say, there is experience of duality. There is no jnanam. I, the self, am consciousness. That jnanam is not there. Understand? Just the attention remains absorbed in the object. Object is still there. Therefore, what? No. The experience of object alone is there. Therefore, meditator is there. Meditated object alone is there. No other thought is there. This is Savikalpa Samadhihi. Isn't it? There, what experience? Duality means what? I, the meditator, am still different from the object of meditation. Isn't it? This is experience. Consciousness is not the experience. Consciousness is not even an experiencer. Consciousness is not the experienced. But the experiencer is none other than consciousness. Every experience is consciousness. The experienced also is consciousness. They were what to say. Experience should not be mistaken for enlightenment or jnanam. It's just an experience, a state of experience. How in dream is a state of mind which is an experience. Deep sleep state is a state of mind which is an experience, isn't it? Similarly, this Savikalpa Samadhi also is an experience wherein all other thoughts resolve, the object of meditation alone is there, and the meditator remains absorbed in the object of meditation. Still, the experience of duality is there. Isn't it? And then, what is Nirvikalpa Samadhi? In Nirvikalpa Samadhi also, Even the object of meditation, what happened? That's also, all other thoughts are resolved. The thought of object of meditation also resolves. There's only difference, slight difference. Where is the object of meditation? The attention of the mind of the meditator remains absorbed in the object of meditation. That experience is what? Even the object of meditation resolves. Is not there. Even the thought of the object of meditation also is not there. What is there then? Meditator alone is there. Object of meditation also is resolved. In Savikalpa Samadhi, object of meditation, that thought alone is there. No other thought is there. And here all the thoughts are resolved, even the object of meditation also is resolved. Isn't the thought also is resolved? That means what? It's as good as remaining in sleep. In sleep also you have no other thought. What thought do you have in sleep? No other thought means what? All different thoughts, types of thought which you experience in waking state, they are all resolved. no thought is not there. Only thing is, you are not conscious of yourself being there in deep sleep state. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you are conscious of yourself. But like in deep sleep state, your ignorance is total. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, ignorance is partial. You are still ignorant. You know you are in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, whereas in deep sleep state, you do not know you are, you do not know who you are. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you know you are, but no thoughts is there. But even then, you do not know who you are in Nirvikalpa. Abba, I had to make this point today very clear. To say one line, I had the whole class today. You know that. Why? Because when you say you are, you alone are there, no other thought is there. That is what is we say, the experience is non-dual. You do not see anything else. Just you are, nothing else is there for you. That's what is what? No. Non-dual experience. That means what? What is there for you? Only you are. No other thought is there. Is it clear now? Because it's an experience, any experience is what? A state of mind. So what will come to an end? That is not the problem. Any experience will come to an end. But understand now. And people, it's like how people, when you get cranky, somebody will come and wake you up and you're in fast asleep. At 2 o'clock, somebody gives you a ring. That is when in London, you go to bed after 11 o'clock and you start sleeping after 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, the time you fast asleep. Somebody wakes you up. How will you feel? Definitely nobody wants to be disturbed when you're asleep. No way. Sukham. Advaita Sukham you all have. No, Advaita Sukham. Why? Because nothing is there for you. There's no Sukham, Dukkham. You do not know you, even you are. You are completely free from the sense of being small. You know, that's a sukham. You must be there not to have to feel that you are small. You do not even know you are. Therefore, there is no pain. The problem of smallness being centered on I is resolved in deep sleep state. Why? Because you don't have identity with the body mind sense complex. Why? Because you do not even know that you are. You must know you are to have identity and to feel small or big, to feel inferior or superior. Isn't it? You are not there. That is why Nidra is always Sukham, Nidra Sukham. Sleep is always bliss, isn't it? Everybody likes sleep. Nobody wants to be disturbed. Similarly, the Nirvikalpa Samadhi also, those who have the experience of Nirvikalpa Samadhi also, will be very happy. Now, so will be very happy is what? Not very happy. They don't want to, be disturbed in that, from that experience. But because it is an experience is time bound, they have to what now? That experience will come to an end and they will be disturbed from that Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Once they come out of Samadhi, they may look calm and quiet for some time and slowly they regain their things. It's like from sleep, now when you wake up from sleep, how do you wake up? Seem exactly like that. Swamiji always says this. Thoongravunakku na irukkaren theriyadhu. இவனுக்கு நான் இருக்கிறேன்னு தெரியும் அவ்வளவுதான். அகெயின் இட் பி சேம் சம்சாரி. தட் இஸ் வை பிகாஸ் இட் இஸ் அ கிரேட் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ், கிரேட் அச்சீவ்மெண்ட். இருக்கும் போது நாட் ஈஸி ஜோக், ஓகே, பிக் அச்சீவ்மெண்ட் ரியலி. பட் வாட் இஸ் இஸ் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ், பிக் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ், எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் இன்ட் இட்? That's only experience of non-duality. But there is no, understand, non-dual means what? You are there. Even then, we can't say there is jnanam, jnanam siddham. You can't say, oh, this is enlightenment. No. What is lacking here? The problem of smallness being centered on I is not resolved in nirvikalpa samadhi. In nirvikalpa samadhi, there's an experience of, understand now, there's non-dual experience. For the meditator, there's nothing. No other thing is there. But still, there cannot be knowledge that what I am is not possible. That is why it's an experience. It is not swarupam. Isn't it? Even though you see the light, but still you don't know it, what you're seeing is light. It's like that. You're seeing the light. In the light you're seeing, you're able to see, but you do not know that you're able to see because of the light. You do not know what that light is. That here also it happens. And actually, we have to understand here, whereas in nididhyasanam, look at this, not as a result of meditation, but as a result of contemplation, swaswarupa anusandhanam, when you constantly inquire into, what is constantly, continuously, consistently inquiring into the nature of the reality. Swaswarupam, one's own swarupam, as unfolded in the Shastra. You know what consciousness is, and what is, how consciousness is. You know what consciousness is, how consciousness is, a consciousness is, how it is eternal, etc. The swarupam, everything. How actionlessness is the swarupam, how attributelessness is the swarupam, how fullness is the swarupam, how fullness and limitlessness are synonyms, how happiness and limitlessness and fullness mean one and the same. This is enquiry, vichara. Then when you are enquiring to the meaning of these words, where is your mind? Where is your attention? When your mind is enquiring into the nature of the swarupam of the Atma, so swarupam, where is the attention? It is with its own swarupam, isn't it? Swarupam, one's own swarupam. There, the meditator, meditated, difference is not there. That vicharaha, in the long run, will result in ascertained, doubt-free vision of the oneness or the non-duality of the reality, wherein you know everything else is, you see the differences. You don't need to put off any, put any thought to sleep. You don't need any samadhi. You don't need to put off any, thoughts. All the thoughts can be there. Still you will understand what? In the long run, everything is experienced is awareness. Experience also is awareness. Experiencer also is what? Awareness. Isn't it? Awareness alone is satyam. Everything other than awareness is mithya. Mithya is satyam. What is there is only satyam brahma. Then in your understanding, in every perception, in everything, every cognition, in every bit of knowledge, in every experience, you can never miss awareness. Then what is it? It's called. Then also you are in samadhi. What is it, samadhi? Samadhi means what? Attention being focused. Then attention remains absorbed in one's own swarupam. Manadin gavanam tan irupileye nitral. Isn't it? Attention being, remaining absorbed in its swarupam. then even if you take the attention from there, you can never miss it. Not being able to miss the vision of the reality is what? Being absorbed in Swarupam. Every time you see any wave, any amount of oceans, you can never lose sight of H2O. Similarly, in every experience, in every cognition, in every perception, in every object, isn't it? You will never miss awareness. That means then that samadhi is sahaja samadhi. Sahajamna yelbai irutal. Ni niyaha yelbai irutal. You just yourself being yourself. Which is sahaja. Sahaja. Understand now? What is fullness? Sahajam. What is sahajam? Sahajayate. That which is, see, I can say, what is sahajam for the fire? Heat is sahajam. When the fire was born, heat was born along with the fire. That means what? That which is ever, okay, inseparable. That which is never separable is what? Sahajam. Understand now? Here, when once you know awareness is the Swarupam, awareness is the meaning of the word I. When you know, that awareness is the meaning of the I in everything. Isn't it? Everything, suppose every object, if it has to, every object or every being has to refer to itself, one's own self, what is the pronoun it should use? I. And what is the meaning of the word I? Awareness. Isn't it? And that awareness is one and the same, only indivisible, partless whole, which is of the nature of fullness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of all-pervasiveness. Isn't it? So the I itself am awareness means the mind, you may be perceiving objects, you may be cognizing things, knowing things, doing things, but you see all these diversities, no? It is all used in unity. In understanding, awareness is in awareness, you see everything being there. Like how clearly you see all the waves being not outside of H2O. You can clearly see how you can see all the objects here are not outside of the light. Similarly, you will see the knower, known, knowledge, everything being, no? Being awareness. Then, that is what? Samadhi. Sahaja Samadhi. Why Sahajam? You can never miss it. It is not an experience. It is Swarupa Anusandhanam. And now, it is Swarupam. Well, here Swarupam, experience means what? Come to an end. Swarupam will never come to an end. Illumining will never come to an end. When the light is, illumining will be there. Where the fire is, there the heat is definitely there. Isn't it? Heat will never go away from the fire because it is Swarupam. Like that, awareness, in fact, awareness is never away from the mind. When is awareness away from the mind? When is mind away from awareness? When is the water away from the waves? When is the wave away from the water? When is it? Never. Similarly, mind is never away from awareness. Always in awareness. Whatever is the state of mind, it's always in awareness. Deep sleep, it is there. Waking, it is there very much in awareness. Because, isn't it? Never away from awareness. Not only the mind, objects, no? Objects of knowledge also what? No thought, no object of thought, and then is ever away from awareness. When you say light is, attention is centered on, focused on light. Light is not away from awareness, isn't it? There is light knowledge, that thought also is not away from awareness. Isn't it? Therefore, we have to be very, very clear. The knower is awareness means the knowledge is also awareness, isn't it? We say the known also is knower, knowledge, known, all the three are one pure knowledge, pure awareness. Therefore, that awareness is the swarupam. Being aware is the swarupam of the self. That is how self is. Therefore, once it is known, it never goes away. It is not an experience. It is not anubhavaha, but it is swarupam. Any experience will come to an end. Swarupam is eternal, not time-bound. Therefore, we call it what now? Sahaja Samadhi. Sahaja Samadhi is actually Mokshaha. Is Jnanam, knowledge, it is Mokshaha. Wherein one sees, one doesn't need to, look at this, one doesn't need to put one's thoughts to sleep. That is why Shastra Ramana actually recommends, Vedanta always recommends what? Use these eightfold, if you want any of this, you want to make use of any of these eightfold angas or all the eightfold limbs, you can use it, make use of it for your preparing your mind for knowledge. Understand? As a byproduct, you'll have the samadhi sthitis. But don't get stuck there. Don't mistake, because still there is, understand? Actually speaking, without these limbs, practicing these limbs also, just by studying Vedanta, repeatedly listening, understand? The class itself will become what for you one day? So, swarupa anusandhanam. Understand? Itself, in fact, it is just understanding, enhancing your clarity by listening more and more, and there you can, attention of the mind can be focused on swarupam, which is contemplation, which in due course of time would result in sahaja samadhi, which is jnanam and moksha. People don't talk about sahaja samadhi. Yelba iruttal. Manam. No, as Ramana said previously, swasthana. Okay, she talked about no remaining with itself, the abiding in oneself, self abidance. Abiding in oneself. You're not away. Mind is never away. When the question of knowing, if where this mind is. That is why, without putting any of the thoughts or mind to sleep, that's why Swamiji always condemns this, you know. Apu Swamiji explains, dropping the mind, killing the mind, undoing the mind, drop the thoughts. Dropping, where will you drop? Who are you to drop? How can you drop? Where will you go and drop? It's all like garbage, you know, to drop it elsewhere. Mind is, you understand, where, suppose we say, drop all the objects in the light, to see the light. Why will you drop the object? See, object has to be wherever it is. You need to distinguish the light and resolve the objects in the light. Understand now? That is why in Sahaja Samadhi, you don't need to, that is why you don't need to be, you don't need to really kill your mind. You cannot kill your mind, in fact. Understand now? You don't need to put your thoughts to sleep to know what is. Thought is not there. Thought is manifest, thought is resolved. Where is it? It is never away from awareness. So know what awareness. So swarupa vicharena. Okay, by constantly contemplating upon the nature of one's own self, you see what? There is never awareness. Mind is never away from awareness. Mind does not exist outside of awareness. No thought exists outside of awareness. Every thought, existence of every thought is pure awareness. Like existence of every wave is H2O, existence of every thought is what? Pure awareness. The chit, sat of every thought is chit. Sat of every thought is what? Chit. And that chit is what? Indivisible, partless whole. One indivisible, partless whole. Therefore what? It pervades every thought. And not only one mind, so also every mind, okay? Existence of every mind is the same awareness. This awareness not only is the existence of every mind, it is the existence of everything here. The subtle manifestation and also the gross manifestation. The sentient and the insentient. Therefore what? It is the self of everything means it pervades everything. It pervades everything means what? It fills everything. Therefore what? Purnaha. Iti purushaha. Understand now? Purayati iti purushaha. Sar puraya ushati iti purushaha. It fills everything. Therefore what? It pervades everything. It's all pervasive. There's no place where it is not there. Understand? It's all pervasive. Therefore what? We have to understand here. Therefore that which pervades is what? Being all pervasive is being full. Isn't it? Being full is what? Fullness. So all pervasiveness is fullness. Fullness is limitlessness. Because no time it is not there. There's no time when it is not there. Timeless. No space, no place where it is not. All pervasive. So spatially limitless. There's no object which is not pervaded by it. So what? Object is also limitless. So limitlessness is fullness, and fullness is what? All pervasiveness, isn't it? Therefore, we say happiness. Being full is being limitless, and being limitless is being happy. That is why we say happiness and fullness and limitlessness are synonyms. And then one who knows this is what? Sahaja is in Sahaja Samadhi. This is a job, no? Whatever it is, when all thoughts are up, thoughts are resolved, still he cannot miss the vision of reality, the Atma. That is what is Jnanam and Mokshaha, for which one needs to listen and listen, punaha punaha shravanam. Text after text, we'll be repeating the same thing and we'll be learning, but a little differently, okay? Little, we can see that how prakriyas will improve and all that. And listening again and again, and as we listen, it will look as though you are listening to something new. No, Swami is repeating too much. It goes, no? Too much of repetition, sometimes you will feel suddenly some penny drops or something different today. Like that, and no, then mananam, doubts will resolve, and one day there'll be what? Slowly, what is discussed here? You will understand. You yourself will just switch on to what you can make out yourself. You will see that. It'll be contemplation, isn't it? That's why studying many Upanishads, the subject matter of which is one and the same, but differently, isn't it? And then it will slowly lead to Sahaja Samadhi. That is what is Ramana says here. Okay? What is Sahaja Samadhi? What you know? Karma, Jnanam, Bhaktihi. All these are for what? Without undoing anything. Who are you to undo? What can you undo? What can you drop? What can you give up? Understand? Anything, just by understanding, by enhancing your clarity, you will see that it culminates. All these things ultimately contribute for preparing the mind in terms of steadiness required for contemplation, which is swasvarupa anusandhanam. Thereby it will result in jnanam, wherein you are in sahaja samadhi. Yelba iruttal. Okay, we say fire is hot. How is fire? Today fire is not hot. It means what? One fine day, suddenly fire is very, you know, naughty. It's not hot today. That means what? Yelba illa, isn't it? A, that's not true. fire is always hot. What about the heat then? Heat is its sahaja. Sahaja gunaha. Understand now? It is swarupam. That is why, not sahaja gunaha, just we have to use the word for want of words. Not even gunaha. Understand now? It is a swarupam. That is how heat, fire is. In the form of the heat only. That is why sahaja. We use the word fire and we talk about the heat. What too many words are we using? Light. Too many words we are using, but all of them mean one substance, isn't it? Similarly here also, what is fullness and what is, you know, awareness? Awareness is the swarupam of the vastu reality, which you understand as what? Aham shabda arthaha, isn't it? It's the meaning of the word I. And one who knows this, one who recognizes this, one who dwells upon it continuously, now then one who ascertains this vision, where how can he lose sight of that? It is nitya, isn't it? Nitya nirantara swarupaha. Swarupam. Therefore what? Sahaja. Sahaja samadhi. Isn't it now? Is it clear? Okay. Then, what's the time, Radhaji? 8:20. Oh, we have some more time. Hope you are not tired, no? Or hope I have not made it feel tired, because I didn't read the verses today. I made a point not to speak, but I want to start from the beginning. Is it clear? Just I want to say briefly everything, what all I said, just to put together. Because we discussed about meditation here and there. Already we have discussed meditation. What is this confusion? That I want to make it very clear. So I hope whatever I told you here, I mean, doesn't contradict with your reasoning. Isn't it? You have to see a little here. Now you can understand why people mistake Nirvikalpa Samadhi for enlightenment. Swarupam is sahajam, isn't it? And experience is what? We'll go. Time out. Now, next mantra, next shloka, Ramana is going to talk about pranayamaha. Who should practice pranayamaha? Those very, very, very restless people who cannot sit for puja, even in sitting in, who cannot sit for puja, who cannot do any japam, who cannot concentrate, no, who are very restless. I don't say others should not be practice. Anybody can practice pranayama. Definitely practicing pranayama with the help of the teacher, the relevant techniques. Okay, there's so many, it's a vast, okay, discipline. And lots of things one has to learn in pranayama. One can learn whatever is relevant, appropriate for the for one's age, sex. Now say, whatever one is appropriate for one's age and then physical condition, one has to learn from a proper teacher who knows pranayama very well. By any problems also what? He can help you to get over the problems you have in while practicing pranayama. Very important. You can't just practice on your own. Just seeing TV, somebody is practicing on TV and see, he said, put left hand and right hand and now sit in Vajrasanam and then now breathe in, breathe out. If you practice, maybe one or two is okay. Otherwise, generally, seriously, who are interested in practicing pranayama seriously, they should really approach who the pranayama teacher is, where the teacher is, the so-called teacher knows, whether he can help you regularly, systematic. Anything is what? Our shastram always recommends regular, systematic, proper study of any discipline. Otherwise, shastram doesn't accept it. Because any problem and you don't know how to get over it. And he says, this pranayama as a breath, you know, this breathing exercise definitely helps you to cure certain things. But it will not change one's prarabdham. Definitely. And second thing, pranayama, when it is connected, it always, pranayama is what, any breathing always is involuntary function, isn't it? It's an involuntary function because we don't know. It's happening. But when you focus your attention on this breathing and you breathe consciously, make it the involuntary function, mechanical, automatic. When you focus attention, it becomes what? No, you consciously, you breathe in and breathe out, it becomes what? Pranayamaha. And always, in keeping with the speed of the thought, there's a mind and breathing are always actually, the breath are connected actually. That's why when the thoughts are very fast, when you breathe in, when you run something, then you can see the thoughts, the flow of thoughts also will be what? Very, very fast flow of thoughts. That is why the restless, highly restless people are recommended to practice pranayama. Not all the techniques, at least the basic techniques one can practice to make the highly restless mind, to quieten the highly, highly restless mind. So, as I told in the last class, pranayamaha, and you consciously inhale, and that inhalation is called what? Purakam. When you inhale consciously and you just don't breathe in fast, slowly, try to breathe in as slowly as possible. There's a time again. It takes, suppose, the units of time. Now you can take in actually 2 units of time or 4 units of time. You can have your own time and you can inhale. Then when you inhale, you slowly fill your lungs with oxygen. I told you last class itself, which is called purakam. Isn't it? Purakam. Then, once you filled in your lungs, you hold the breath for some time, as long as you possible. How long? Maybe, no, that's why I said, the use of time you can, whatever is possible for one. I can stay for even 1 minute means difficult for other people, isn't it? Some seconds, how many seconds you can hold that breath? How many minutes, it's very difficult, okay? How many seconds you can hold your breath? That is there. Then, that is kumbhakam. And when you hold the breath, what happens now? The thoughts also stop for some time, you know that? That is the secret. In keeping with the flow of your breath, thoughts also flow. So slowly when you inhale, thought flow will be slow. When you stop the breathing, thought flow also is stopped for a second. And slowly you exhale. So after kumbhakam, you start exhaling. It's called what? You empty your lungs totally. By contraction, what? Lungs become empty. That emptying is what? Rechakam. After rechakam, you again hold the breath for some time. That is bahih kumbhakam. Antah kumbhakam means after purakam, you hold the breath for some time. It is antah kumbhakam. After emptying after rechakam, after exhaling, you hold your breath for some time. That's called bahih kumbhakam. When you practice this constantly for some time, what happens? I tell you, the flow of thoughts will be slow, not very fast. And not only that, it also pranayama, definitely you're, because your conscious, no, attention is totally held by your breath. It's sort of, no, it's also meditation. It becomes a meditation also. No, why? Your object of meditation will be your prana. That is, a pranayama helps us what? Meditation. Why? If your attention goes somewhere, prana will go. Know that you can't hold the breath. You can't mechanically do pranayama. Know that. We're doing prana, not ayama. We're always breathing. Isn't it? We're not exercising our breath, but we're always breathing mechanically. We're not conscious. When you're consciously practicing the breathing, you know, what happens now? The attention is there. Attention is held by the prana. Where is attention now? It's in the prana. So what is now? Well, prana becomes the object of meditation. Isn't it? Prana is object of meditation. That is why, and slowly, and you are also, so other thoughts, you hear also the mechanical thinking, how japa helps you to avoid mechanical thinking, avoid unnecessary meandering of thoughts, to avoid unnecessary, you know, and then ill feelings one has towards our people. All this, the neutralizing of the thoughts is possible by practicing pranayama. Is it clear? Therefore, pranayama, definitely, and by constantly practicing like that, we can definitely, then when the restless, more restless you are, the speed of the thought flow will be very high. The more agitated you are, you know, the speed of the, you know, thought flow will be very high. A number of thoughts also will be more. And here, when the speed of the thought flow is kept in check, is not, you know, is very low, then what happens? The number of thoughts also will be less. Then, in keeping with the flow of thoughts, your blood pressure also, what now, will be, there will not be low pressure, definitely there will not be high pressure. Pressure with blood pressure will be, the pressure of blood will be in keeping with the flow of thoughts, the flow of thoughts will be in keeping with the flow of breathing. See the connection, look at this, how it is connected now. Heart, lungs, mind, all are connected. And here, why? Because this kriya is what? Kriya is activity, breathing is an action, and mind is a thought, isn't it? Thought and action both remain, actually what now? Both are in awareness. Thought is not outside of awareness. Prana also is not outside of awareness. There is no distance between the awareness and the thought. Similarly, there is no distance between awareness and also prana. Hence, here we say, this is pranayama. So, he says, by practicing pranayama, one can quieten, discipline, calm the restless, agitated mind. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Jalapakshivadrodhasadhanam. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. Vayurodhana liyate manaha. ஜாலபக்ஷிவ த்ரோத சாதனம் ஜாலபக்ஷிவ த்ரோத சாதனம். சி மனஹா லீயதே, மைண்ட் ரிசால்வ்ஸ் ஆர் மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் காம், மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் குயட், மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் டிசிப்ளின்ட், மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் ஸ்டெடி. The word liyate, I have to say liyate, literally means resolves. Manam odunguhirathu. What do we mean by odunguhirathu? Yeah, all the thoughts cannot be resolved for good, isn't it? But slowly, here mind becomes calm, now resolves, disciplined and steady. How? When you say mind resolves means, there's no too many number of thoughts are not there. Where there is mind is calm means there is no restlessness, there is no stress, there is no strain on the part of the mind. Manaha liyate. How does it resolve? He says, vayu rodhanat. Rodhanam means obstruction. Literal meaning is what? Obstruction or stopping or blocking. Rodha, nirodha, nirodhanam. All these, no? They mean the same. Nirodhanam, rodhanam mean the same. Obstructing, blocking, stopping. Isn't it? That's the correct meaning. Are not even stopping, no? Consciously breathing is what? Sort of managing or keeping the breath under control. When you are not consciously breathing, you don't have any control over the say, over the not having say, you don't have any say. That means what? Just it flows. Isn't it? So, rodha, vayu rodhanat manaha liyate. I have already explained to you the mantra, the word, this verse, isn't it? When you, how do you, vayu rodhanam, how do you obstruct, how do you, now control your breath? How do you discipline your breath? By practicing exercise, breathing exercise. What do you practice? It doesn't explain. So, I told you already what is inhaling. Take slowly inhaling, taking time, possible time, as long as possible, 2 seconds or 3 seconds or 5 seconds, taking as long as possible, you can breathe in slowly, which is purakam. And once you filled the lungs, when the lungs expand, you hold the breath, it is antah kumbakam. Then, what slowly you exhale, which is rechakam. And afterwards, again, bahih kumbakam. Is constantly you practice this. No, bahih kumbakam, actually, antah kumbakam is easy. Bahih kumbakam is difficult. Now, once you exhaled, immediately your lungs immediately expect oxygen. Anyway, you practice this, then what happens? Attention is totally held by the prana. Therefore, slowly, number of thoughts now becomes less. Then rise, thoughts do not even rise. Thoughts remain resolved. Thought flow will be slow. Understand now? In fact, completely thoughts stop for some time. You constantly do that. Attention is only on the breathing means, on your breathing means. The breath alone is object of thought. Then no thought is there. This is how slow, when you practice more and more, in fact, there is no other thought. What is object of thought? There is only thought of prana. Is what, this is how manaha liyate. Manaha liyate means mind resolves, all the thoughts resolve when you practice this pranayama constantly. And he says, jala pakshivat rodha sadhanam. Jala pakshi. Jala pakshi means what? The pakshi which is always freely flying, when it is now, actually, when it gets caught by the hunter's net, because jala pakshi, the bird caught in the net is what? Jala pakshi. Like that, like the bird, just as the bird caught in the net, hunter's net, cannot fly, so also the mind becomes what now? What is like the jalam here? Pranayama is like the jalam. Jalam means net. And it catches the mind bird. Understand now? Therefore, mind remains what now? Mind cannot be restless. It has to be quiet. All the thoughts have to remain, all the thoughts have to resolve. Ella ennangalum odungiruma pranayamathila. Why? Because attention is totally held by what? Pranayama. Because you are conscious of all that, you are conscious. Your attention goes elsewhere, pranayama will be disturbed. You don't want to disturb your pranayama. Consciously, inhaling consciously, holding consciously, exhaling consciously, holding. Mind, whole mind is only in pranayama. Therefore what? Other thoughts are not there. What happened to the thoughts? They resolved. So the pranayama is like what? Like a jalam, like a net. Mind is like a bird. Understand? Jala pakshivate. Understand? Just as the bird which caught held in the hunter's net, the mind also remains what? Resolved. Is caught by the attention, is caught by the pranayama. Yes. Therefore, like rodha sadhanam. It's a pranayama is the best means for controlling your, no, not actually controlling, in fact resolving your thoughts. We cannot control. Controlling means that it's a different word. Swamiji never likes the word control. That's why now control means, who are you? Understand now? For the thoughts to resolve by themselves, ennangal tamaha odunga. Pranayamam serves as a means. Control, when you say, as if I, now again some sort of, some problem comes. Isn't it? Just the thoughts have to resolve. What is the means? Attention has to be held. Attention has to be held by what? Pranayama. Prana. Prana holds the attention. Adi mind. So what? No other thought can rise. Anything which holds your attention, in fact, not only pranayama. What is the secret? You have to understand. Anything which is capable of holding your attention takes the total attention of the mind towards itself. It does not give place for anything else. That is why children seek attention from you. Understand now? When you are not, they feel unattended. Isn't it? When you are, your attention is on something, children seek your attention. Isn't it? We say that. Similarly, once you your attention is absorbed in something, you're preoccupied with something, your attention is not available for anything else other than whatever you are preoccupied with. Is it true or not? Simple thing. That is why many a times we have TV serials. Our Vivek's jokes are there. He will go into the house, he'll see old man watching TV, and then he gives even the keys. He goes and takes the jewelry and goes, the thief goes out like that. Like he goes, no? That means what? The thief goes inside, he asks for the key. The person is so careful, no, so engrossed in watching TV. Attention is held by it. Mechanically, key he gives the keys. He doesn't even know he's giving the key. And the thief goes in and takes everything, comes back and gives the test the key. He accepts the key also. And takes whatever he wanted, and the thief also goes out. Okay? There's something somewhere I heard somebody saying somewhere, I don't know, maybe I don't know where I saw this. I don't watch actually movies regularly. So somewhere, some bits and pieces somewhere, I watch some TV news and sometimes I sit and I come to know some things. It means what? I used to, my God, TV still holds your attention. If anything which holds attention for a length of time, your attention is available only held by something, not available for something else. But the problem is, attention also gets distracted from that thing which holds your attention. If you are interested in Carnatic music, you can just, music can put you off to everything else. Isn't it? You put off, you know, everything else becomes what? Absent for you. Music alone is there. That is why Tyagaraja said, Sangeetam is what? Pranaha. To prepare your mind. Like pranayama. Sangeetam also helps. He said, Sangeetam is a prana. Because in helping the taming, in keeping the restless mind, whole, if something has to hold your mind, then it will become, all our thoughts will resolve. Like a sort of pre-preparation for meditation. You see, mind has to become focused, distraction-free. That is the main purpose. What is the purpose of anything which helps you to, you know, the restless mind is distracted. Mind goes all over. It has to become what? Focused. How will it become focused? That is why music, not Western music, okay? My God, you won't be quiet then. You will start jumping and dancing. I always like that word, Charaja's own words. Advaita Siddhiki, for the accomplishment of vision of non-duality. Amaratva Labdhiki, for accomplishing, for the attainment of immortality. Sangeetame Pranamo. How Sangeeta becomes prana? It can hold your attention. The raga, laya, tala, no words, everything. So it is the nuances, when they sing, can hold your attention. It takes your mind with itself. All the thoughts are resolved. What is there for you? Only that Sangeetam. Sangeetam helps you to resolve the thoughts by holding attention totally. Thereby it helps you to be free from distraction and to become more and more focused. That's the limitation, isn't it? So also any fine art can help you. As if fine art is called fine art. It's not a grass art, isn't it? Even you can see, even the person who's working on the grossest stone, I tell you, finest buddhi, isn't it? Not that easy to put the thing on a stone and to carefully, you know, chisel away the unwanted portions to get the sharp nose and the featured eyes. Not that easy, isn't it? Therefore, fine art means any fine art can hold your attention and help you to resolve your thoughts. Understand? And that is what we say. The pleasure also is said to be that. Anything which holds your attention, help you resolve your thoughts, then the attention is totally lost in that one thing. Even the eye resolves for a length of time. You forget yourself. How engrossed you are in something, in music, you can forget yourself. In dance, watching nice classical dance, you can forget yourself. How much your attention is involved? How much is attention held by that object? In TV series also sometimes, okay? You just totally engrossed in that. It means attention is totally held to that extent wherein you forget yourself. May marathal. Isn't it? You forget yourself means then what happens? Even the problem of smallness centered on I resolves for a length of time. That is why what the state of mind you have that time is called pleasure, fraction of your swarupam. Amazing, isn't it? What is a pleasure? Inbamna ennana. Nirevin vihudi, pahudi. Understand now? Fraction of fullness is pleasure. What is that state of mind? It surfaces. When does that state of mind, the pleasure, surface? When the problem of smallness centered on I is resolved. How long? Whenever you forget yourself. What is it which makes you forget yourself? Anything which holds my attention totally. All these meditative techniques also very pleasure. Very people want it again and again, like a kick. Now you have a kick there. Pleasure is a kick, isn't it? Kick is not a pleasure, but a pleasure is a kick, really. That is what I'm saying, how the technique works. Therefore, that is why, in fact, the education itself is a discipline for us. Right from the grass, when the mind is so raw, working with the crayons, color pencils, multicolors, it's all for what? To bring the distracted, restless mind, to keep it focused for at least 15 minutes, half an hour. All BBC channel, no? What is it, BBC? CBBs. I don't know what it is.
Children's channel.
Children's channel. CBBs. Yeah, CBBs. Huh? Yeah, CBBs. Because I also watch sometimes, that's why I'm saying. Why? Because otherwise, imagine what an amount of damage they'll do at home if those channels are not there. In the cold weather, they can't go out and play. What will they do with energy? They need to be focused. Okay? Why? To keep the attention, distracted mind to be focused for a length of time. The mind is focused, thoughts are resolved. Understand now? Is pranayama for grown up baby? CBBs is for okay, baby has had to grow. Listen now, for just to hold the attention, distracted mind has to be focused, so that what, the baby will sit calmly. If the mind is distracted, body will also be active in keeping with the speed of the thought flow. How to control CBBs, isn't it? Similarly, what is there for us? We have used all those pranayama, we have used color pencils, we have grown out of all those things now. But still mind seems to be somewhat the same, but little different, isn't it? Child's mind doesn't know what to do with that. But still we are also in a way, we are much more disciplined, not like children. But still we are adequately disciplined. I don't say grown up child, why I'm saying here, because we are not adequately disciplined. The child is indisciplined totally. Child's mind is what? Totally indisciplined, highly distracted and agitated. That is why children will be like that. We can't blame. Okay? That's why no child has to be blamed for any no reason. There's no reason we should blame the children. Poor children, what will they do? The mind is like that. And imagine, for the grown-ups also are not adequately disciplined. We are disciplined to some extent. Not adequately disciplined means we are not as steady as we need to be for contemplation. That is why to make the distracted, agitated mind to be focused, to be able to be focused, the best thing is what? Jalam is what? For this mind pakshi, for this bird, okay, mind, what is the jalam? What is the net using which you can catch this bird, mind bird, is what? Pranayama. So, pranayamena. Listen now. Vayu rodhana means pranayamaha. The breathing exercise which helps you to consciously practice this breathing, wherein you have set control the breath after breathing, before breathing, breathing in and breathing out. You hold the breath, holding actually is the best word, dharanam actually, holding helps you to be focused. Helps you to focus your mind. Like the Jala Pakshivat. Is it clear now? I think I have, this is a very good way of saying. Rodha Sadhanam. So, Rodha Sadhanam means of making the mind focused. I don't want to use the word control here. Rodha, I say, means of making the mind focused. Rodha sadhanam. What is the means of making the mind focused? Practicing pranayama, breathing exercise. Once you practice breathing exercise, then it holds attention, thereby it helps the mind to be focused. Thereby all the thoughts will resolve. Mind will become steady and quiet and focused. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam.